There is a whirlwind of new climate news. To help sort it out, our guest is Joseph Rome, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. During the Clinton administration, Mr. Rome was acting Assistant Secretary of Energy, responsible for energy efficiency and renewable energy. Welcome, Joe.
Howdy.
Well, your blog has so many stunning headlines. I'd like to just, maybe we could start with the new science coming from the American Geophysical Union and the Hadley Center, and then get into America's response and the new Obama administration. So I understand you were at the latest Geophysical Union conference. What's the news from there?
Well, I actually had someone reporting live from there.
Okay.
And every year the top geophysicists and climate scientists report their latest research. And they did so last week. And the basic story is that everything is melting a lot faster than people thought. Antarctica is warming and melting. Greenland and Antarctica and the glaciers have lost 2 trillion tons of ice since 2003. The Arctic is warming faster than people thought. The tundra is melting, releasing methane. So it's just, the news is the global warming is, I'm afraid, happening faster than people had feared.
I noticed, too, on your blog that the British seem to be ahead of American climate projections sometimes. I noticed the UK Tyndall Center report and then the Hadley Center. You had some graphs for your December 21st entry in climateprogress.org, your blog. And it kind of scared me. What's your reaction to this new information?
Yeah, the Hadley Center, which is run out of the Met Office, which is actually part of the Defense Department in Britain, is one of the most credible organizations in the world reporting on tracking climate and projecting climate. And, they put out this figure, which is definitely quite alarming, that, we face really... what I would say is 10 degrees Fahrenheit planetary warming by the end of the century unless we get off of our, current greenhouse gas emissions path pretty soon. And, some people have been saying similar things like that. In fact, on my blog, I have been, kind of putting the case together myself. But this is the first time, really, that a super credible organization has said this, because 5.5 degrees centigrade or 10 degrees Fahrenheit would be a catastrophe. That is actually as much warming as the planet has seen since the last ice age, when half the planet was covered with ice. And if we had that much warming, it would eventually melt all the ice on the Earth now, and that means ultimately, sea levels a couple hundred feet higher than they are now. So, I think we can't, we can't risk going to an ice-free planet. The impacts are catastrophic.
Well, we get to James Lovelock's vision where there's a few breeding pairs of humans left up near the Arctic, where the rainforests are growing around the Arctic. We don't want that kind of planet.
Yeah, I mean, Lovelock is he makes me look optimistic. And, his is a particularly, grim vision. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I think it is safe to say that nobody has any idea of just all the bad things that would happen if we warm the planet that much. I mean, there are models from the Hadley Center that one-third of the planet would turn into a desert. There's actually a paper that was published in Science magazine, which said that the entire southwest of the United States, from Texas to California, would turn into basically a permanent desert, a region more arid than the Oklahoma during the Dust Bowls. So, I think it's important that people understand what the impacts are, what we would be doing to our children and grandchildren and the next 50 generations if we don't act. But one of the main points of climate progress is to lay out the technologies and strategies that exist today that can allow us to avoid that catastrophe. And I don't want to leave anyone with the impression that it's easy to do. It would take a lot of money, but we're a very rich planet. So, you know, even 1 to 2% of our wealth is $1 to $2 trillion, you know, so a year. So the bottom line is that compared to what happens if we don't take action, the cost of you know, transforming to a green, clean energy economy is really very small.
Well, the other thing that came to me in that Hadley Center report was that it looks like if we can act quickly, that will make a huge difference as opposed to figuring, well, what'll we do by 2050? Is that your take as well?
Oh, yeah. I think it's very important for people to understand that even though most of the worst impacts are in the second half of this century, what we do in the next decade will pretty much determine what path we go on. Yeah, that's because the energy infrastructure takes so long to change. I mean, cars last 20 years and coal plants last 50 years and buildings last 80 years. And it's also in part because carbon dioxide lasts a really long time. I mean, the mean lifetime of carbon dioxide from burning fossil fuels in the atmosphere is 10 to 20,000 years. So you have to reverse course now and dramatically reduce emissions over the next 3 or 4 decades if you want to get on to a path that is is considered to be much safer, total warming hopefully of around 2 degrees centigrade, 3 to 3.5 degrees Fahrenheit. That is a path that that most of the scientific community has said we need to get on.
And to get there, James Hansen's suggesting we may even have to start removing CO2 from the atmosphere.
Yeah, Hansen, who is a man that I respect more than just about any climate scientist in the world, and he has been right on this subject for 3 decades now, longer than almost anybody. He believes we actually have to reduce emissions more than a lot of other scientists, and that we're going to have to basically replace every coal plant on the planet within by 2030, and may ultimately need to pull carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. Yes.
Well, I'm a little more radical than that. Even I think that we're going to have to start shutting down coal plants, and people will have to use less electricity. We'll have to put in solar. We'll have to do whatever we have to do. But I'm surprised that young people aren't around protesting coal mining and the coal power plants. Greenpeace does it occasionally, but there isn't much public movement on this yet, as far as I can see.
Yeah, it's a little surprising to me that, I mean, if people understood the facts about climate change and the, you know, they would be marching in the streets. I think you're going to see over the next, you know, you're going to see more activism. I also think the good news is that as Barack Obama has appointed a cabinet that really understands both climate science and clean energy solutions. And he is going to reverse 8 years of total inaction and denial.
Well, can you tell us about some of his appointments? I mean, I'm certainly impressed with John Holdren, for example. There's a man I think we can trust there, but tell us more about the other appointments and John, if you like.
Yeah, John Holdren was named named to be science advisor, and he is a past president of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. He is a friend of mine. I considered him to be among the most qualified people that could possibly be appointed to the job. He is an expert both on climate science and clean energy, and he is not going to pull any punches. His appointment means that we're not going to be muzzling scientists, and we're going to be telling the American people the truth. And I think the public deserves to hear the truth. I think. I'm very excited. I worked at the Department of Energy for 5 years, and it is the agency whose job is to develop and deploy the clean energy technologies in the federal government. And the Obama picked the Nobel Prize-winning physicist Stephen Chu who is very knowledgeable about climate, and he is an expert on clean energy and particularly energy efficiency, which often gets neglected in discussions where people focus too much on supply options. And, you know, he is a first-rate choice, but, you know, even Hillary Clinton for Secretary of State, Secretary of State is in charge of international negotiations, and Hillary is a strong believer in climate science and clean energy, and she ran on a very strong energy and climate platform. And Secretary of Commerce, Bill Richardson, normally Secretary of Commerce goes to kind of a Chamber of Commerce type, not somebody who's very enlightened on the energy and environmental matters, but obviously Bill Richardson was Secretary of Energy when I was there, and he is a leader in clean energy. So yeah, I mean, and Carol Browner has been, you know, EPA administrator during the entire Clinton administration, the longest serving EPA administrator, someone I know pretty well. She, very strong believer in action on global warming, and, you know, I expect her to be given this, she's been named for this unique new position where she's going to oversee from the White House climate action, and she's going to be kind of an energy and climate, they've said czar, but, you know, run an interagency council that will oversee everything. So I think that the whole team is the greenest, most scientifically informed cabinet that we've ever had.
Well, a couple of things worry me about the progress with the new administration. One is I've heard more about new road building, which feels to me the wrong direction, kind of a 1930s echo, but that isn't where we're at now. We need trains if we need anything. And I'm also wondering whether Mr. Paulson and Mr. Bush haven't really drained the Treasury so dry that there won't be the funding we need to make the big energy change. What are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, first, Obama has said that a large portion of the economic stimulus plan that he has announced is going to pass quickly after becoming president will be green. It will focus on renewable energy, on energy efficiency, on energy infrastructure. So, there'll be some road building and bridge building, but that is inevitable when you want to create an economic stimulus. You have to build, get money out that can be delivered quickly. But I think this is going to be the greenest economic stimulus program the country has ever seen. It will probably be $800 billion or more. And I think that, there's no question that Bush, that President Bush has, ruined the car, he's trashed the place, and Obama has got to clean up the mess. Will there be less money? I don't know. I think there's a recognition that we need to spend whatever we can to get out of this mess. But the cabinet appointments make it very clear that clean energy and climate action is going to be one of Obama's top priorities. There are simply too many people who have personally staked their reputations on talking about the seriousness of the climate problem and on the availability of clean technology now. So I don't think people should worry. I mean, you keep hearing this talk that he's appointed moderates and pragmatists. I tried to do a post on that. These guys are pragmatists. They're radical pragmatists. They're pragmatists in that they believe science and understand that science says, you know, as Obama says, we need to do, he said, I think science, the facts demand bold action. So, you know, you can call them moderates or pragmatists if you want. That, in my mind, just means that they believe scientists and know, understand science and will do whatever it takes to preserve the health and well-being of this country and its next generation and the generation after that, which is precisely what we elected them for.
Well, as we wrap up, is there something else you want to tell our listeners? You have the floor.
Well, I think that I just urge people to become informed on this issue. I think that global warming and clean energy are going to be the issues that increasingly dominate all of our lives this century. And the next decade, we will engage more. But by the 2020s and the 2030s, every aspect of life in this country will be driven by an effort to prevent catastrophe. And, you know, as Holdren likes to say, you know, we have to work hard to avoid the things that we can't adapt to and adapt to the things that we can't avoid. And I think the public has taken a huge step by electing Barack Obama, but everybody is going to need to stay engaged on this issue.
Our guest has been Joseph Rohm, spelled R-O-M-M. He's the author of Hell and High Water, Global Warming, The Solution, The Politics, and What You Should Do. His blog is required reading, in my opinion, at climateprogress.org. Joe, it's been great having you on Radio EcoShop. I hope we can have you back again soon.
Anytime.